We're very happy to have our brother Burton Brown with us. I know we appreciated his service yesterday on the will of God, and he's chosen a very appropriate topic for our closing discourse. His subject is Psalms 133. Psalm 133, Brother Burton.
Well, it has been indeed a wonderful privilege to be with you at this convention for the past 2 days. And I think that perhaps I failed to bring you the love and greetings of the Los Angeles class. But just in case I did, it's the second time around. Also, I want to express my thanks to Brother Edmund and Imogene for their wonderful hospitality. It's been most gracious. Psalm 133. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It's like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garment. As the dew of Hermon that descended upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. Yes, we've come to the end of 2 blessed days dwelling together with those of like precious faith. And what a wonderful faith it is that we have, faith in the gospel that has been given to the church this end of the age, the church all down through the age. But for us who are dwelling now, it is truly a blessing as we live in this world, in this time when there is this distress of nations with perplexity, men's hearts are failing them for fear. Yes, there just is no way out with the world conditions except for the knowledge that the kingdom of heaven is going to solve all of man's problems. But as we've listened to the lessons and the admonitions, that these have been for our benefit and exhortation to faithfulness in these days and in the days to come. And as we've heard these words of life from God's holy word, and these are the words of God that we've been hearing through the mouthpiece of the prophets and the prophets and the Lord and the apostles, we can say that truly the Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. And hearing these words of truth, we've heard the words of love. Love not only for us, but for all the families of the earth. God's love for mankind. And knowing that love, we have gained this strength to strength to continue to lay down our lives in consecration to Him. And with this strength, we have self-control. And if we have self-control, we can have self-control over these temptations that we have received and do receive. I asked the brother if he could always control his temptations. Can you eat only one potato chip? Well, there are some exceptions. But with a knowledge of this, we can understand what the will of God is for us. And as we do this, we ask ourselves the question, have you understood these things? Do you know? Yes. And if we do know, how thankful we can be. And knowing these things, the psalmist says that we can dwell together in unity. Unity of the Spirit. And what is that Spirit? He says it's like the oil that was poured upon the head, upon Aaron's head, the high priest of Israel. And who is our high priest? Our high priest, our Lord and Savior, upon whom that holy anointing oil was poured. And it's as this dew of Hermon upon the mountains of Zion. We've been dwelling upon the mountains of Zion these last 2 days. It's the spiritual Zion, for there he says that the Lord commanded the blessings, even life forevermore. I like the Pharaoh Fenton on that. He didn't command it. He gave the blessings of life forevermore. And with the knowledge of the truth, there are many things for which we are glad because of this Holy Spirit that has been shed abroad in our hearts and our minds. And the fact that we are able to come into this relationship as sons of God, come into the anointed body of Christ. And how often we sing that hymn, "Count your many blessings, count them, name them one by one, and see what God hath done." Yes, we have been privileged to be here. We count our blessings. And in the words of our text, consider one another to love and to good works. And we've been considering those things for these past 2 days. Consider them to incite us to be faithful even unto death. And we know that this is for the purpose that God gave his only begotten Son as our Redeemer. It's because he gave his Son for us, not only for us, but for all the families of the earth. But giving his Son for us, he said that he died for our sins, but he was raised for our justification. Being raised for our justification, he appeared in the presence of God for us, sprinkling his blood upon that mercy seat. And so it is that because of this, we have this privilege of being sons of God, being made right with him. And therefore we have this privilege of this fellowship of kindred minds, which is like to that above. And this is as a result of this Holy Spirit that has been shed abroad in our hearts and in our minds, which has enlightened us to know his wonderful plan of the ages. And there are not many in the world that know his plan of the ages. You know, we're not really so smart. But the Lord has revealed these things to you and to me. Yes? It's nothing of ourselves, but it's of him by which we have received this wonderful plan. And because of this, we can say, I was glad when they said unto me, "Let us go unto the house of the Lord." And we've been here these 2 days with other members of our family, with the household of faith, feeding upon these feast of fat things at the hand of the Lord and at the table of the Lord. And in Psalms 133, David gives us this lesson which he relates to our gathering together as brethren. In the Jewish schools, to distinguish between a brother and a neighbor means an Israelite by blood, a neighbor was a proselyte, or one who had been converted to Judaism. But neither of these titles was allowed to the Gentiles. They were without the family of God. And it wasn't until the time of the apostles and our Lord that this familiar title of brother was extended to all Christians. And so it is that the title brother became one of respect and affection, by which those who entered the race for this prize of the high calling were distinguished from all others. They're the family of God, and their lifeblood comes from the grace of God through the merit of Him who gave His life for us. And thus it is that our Lord said, "One is your master, even Christ, and all ye are brethren." Writing to the brethren in Corinth, the Apostle Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians, the first chapter, reading from the 22nd verse, he said, "For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But," and this little word "but" is exactly opposite of what they had been talking about. They wanted a sign. "But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God." Why? "Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men." And then the apostle goes on to say, "For ye see your calling, brethren. How that not many wise after the flesh, and not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God hath called and chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world, and the things which are despised, hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence." Yes, and continuing on, the apostle tells us in the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians, reading the 12th verse, he says, telling us about this body of Christ, that the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one member, one body, so also is Christ. Remember what the word Christ is? It's a Greek word. So also is the anointed. "For by one Spirit we're all baptized into this one body, whether we be Jews or Greeks, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink of that one Holy Spirit." Wonderful thing that we may all have that same one Holy Spirit. But he says that the body is not one member, but many. And as many members make up the body, he says the smallest member can't say to the greatest member, "I have no need of thee." The other way around. No, each member is important, one with the other. Why? "Because now hath God set the members, every one of them in the body, as it pleased Him." Small member, large member, all members. of this one body. And reading down from the 25th verse, that there should be no division in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all members suffer with it. That word suffer there is sympathize. Interesting. Whether one member suffers, all the members sympathize together. Another word, with it. Little phrase, with it, is also together. And I like that. Because when we see our brethren suffer in one way or another, don't we sympathize together? Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. I like Farrah Fenton in that, when he says, you are participating members, all in this same body. And having this relationship is the result of the anointing of coming into the body of Christ. And Paul repeatedly uses the title brother or brethren when writing his various letters to the church. In 1 Corinthians 15:1, remember what he says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preach unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand. Paul didn't set himself up above the others. He said, you are also my brother. We're all brethren. And then in the 58th verse of that same chapter, he says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And it's wonderful when we can all show forth the same spirit, show forth the same zeal, abounding in the work of the Lord. And we'll do that if we have that same Holy Spirit. Paul in 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter, and the 1st verse says, furthermore then, we exhort you, brethren. Here comes that word beseech again. He wasn't pleading with anybody. I exhort you, brethren, by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. Again, Paul was interested in the brethren to have this abounding work in the Lord. Do with your might what your hands find to do. Hold fast the word of truth. And in Hebrews 3:1, Paul continues the same thing when he's talking about Moses and Christ. But he says, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him. And who appointed him? The Heavenly Father. As also Moses was faithful in his house. And then in the 6th verse, but he says, as Christ as a son over his house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. How are you going to remain in the house? If you hold fast your confidence and rejoicing. Yes, and how good it has been for us to dwell together in unity these last 2 days. It's been for our spiritual development and the fruits and the graces of the Spirit as brethren in the body of Christ. And how good, he says, how good it is the blessing of our fellowship of kindred minds. And I like the hymn that we often sing, "Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love." The fellowship of kindred mind is like to that above. Blessed are the sons of peace, whose hearts and hopes are one, whose kind design to serve and please through all their actions run. And before our Father's throne, we pour our ardent prayers, our fears, our hopes, our aims, they're one, our comforts and our cares. And we share our mutual woes and our mutual burden to bear. And often for each other flows the sympathizing tear. And this, while each in expectation strives to run the heavenly way. And how pleasant are these things to all when the brethren dwell together in unity. This is true in a natural home, and how much more so in the house of God. The unity that David was speaking about was the unity of the Spirit. It doesn't mean that we all have to reason exactly the same. However, the truth should never be compromised. And we should always have a "Thus saith the Lord" for the hope that is within us. I'm reminded of an account that the Apostle Paul had with the brethren. This is found in the 19th chapter of Acts. Paul had gone into the 8th verse, he had gone into the synagogue, and he had been preaching there for about 3 months, it says, concerning the kingdom of God. But when some were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of that way of the kingdom that he had been talking about, when they speak evil of that way before the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of Tyrannus. How did he dispute? Well, we can have our arguments and all that, but the word dispute, look this up in the Strong, and it's also in 2 Corinthians 6:14. The word is reason. He reasoned with them in the school concerning the scriptures. And also in Acts 17:2, it's the same word. And Paul, as his manner was, went unto them, and 3 Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the scriptures. Not disputing, but he reasoned with them. Yes. And how good it is that we can dwell together in unity, reasoning among ourselves with the scriptures. Dwell together in unity. I like Goodspeed on that. Dwell together as one. As one body, functioning together, cooperating together. And this all for the ministry of the gospel of the kingdom, ministering to assist each one of us to make our calling and election sure as brethren in the body of Christ. Surely we have much need of unity, not unity at any price, but unity of the Spirit and of the truth. And this, of course, in the bonds of peace. We all have need of each other, even as the body has need of every part. And surely, as members of the body do work together, let us pray that it will always be so among those who are true blood brothers. Yes, and as we come into this relationship, it is because of the blood of Jesus Christ, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. And brethren, with that blood having been sprinkled for us, we are blood brethren. And it's as the apostle says in Hebrews 9th chapter, the 12th verse, "Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal deliverance for us." Eternal deliverance? What kind of eternal is that? It's more than just eternal life that the world will have, this aeon life that mentioned before. It's aeonian life. Life within itself. Life on the divine plane. Glory, honor, and immortality. Yes, he has obtained this for us. But then he goes on to say in the 24th verse, "For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are figure of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us." And as we have been gathered here on the mountaintop, we do claim his promises. We continue to look for his overruling in our lives. We've been encouraged these last 2 days with the word of truth. And as we recall the things that we've heard, may our faith continue to be strengthened in the days ahead. We know not what awaits us. God kindly veils our eyes. And remember the last phrase of our morning resolve: faith can firmly trust him, come what may. What may come is something else. And so let our faith be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Yes, God kindly veils our eyes. And let us, as our brother and apostle Paul exhorts us, be alert as we think on these things. For as has been mentioned before, it's God that works in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And in conclusion, remember the words of the apostle Paul as he writes to us in Hebrews, the 10th chapter, in the 23rd verse. "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke, incite one another to love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves is, as the manner of some was." Yes? Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as we see the day approaching. Yes, we have had a wonderful 2 days of blessing. And let us continue to remember these words that have been given to us from the platform, remembering that this has been like the precious ointment that was poured upon the head, even Aaron's head, and has come down to the skirt of his garment. It's as that refreshing dew of Hermon that descended upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord gave the blessing forever of life, even forevermore. May the Lord add his blessing.
We'd like to thank Brother Burton for reminding us of our privilege, as recorded for us in the 133rd Psalm, of being really members of that one body, brethren one to another. That brings really our convention to a close, our spiritual feast that we've enjoyed from the Lord's hand. And again, we of the Orlando Ecclesia would like to thank all of the brethren who were able to attend. We appreciate your help and your encouragement in this most holy faith. And we would like to leave a thought with you as you leave and return to your homes. Of course, we'd like you to take our love of our Ecclesia with you back to your home Ecclesias. But really, to all, we'd like to remind us of a thought that was brought to our attention at this convention. A blessing, really, expression of prayer from the words of the Apostle Paul, Hebrews 13, 20 and 21. Now the God of peace that brought again the dead from the dead, our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work, to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.
Our gracious and our eternal Heavenly Father, as we come to the conclusion of this convention, we do thank thee for the blessings that we have received from thy hand and from thy word of truth. We once again thank thee for the gift of thine holy and blessed Son, he who has made all these things possible, that coming through him we may call thee our Heavenly Father. We do thank thee for thee, brethren, and for the fellowship that we have had of kindred minds. We pray that the things that we have said and done may be pleasing to thee, and that thou wilt forgive us wherein we may have said anything or done anything that is amiss. Continue to guide and direct each one as we endeavor to be pleasing to thee in spirit and in truth, and may we continue to ever uphold thy word of truth, showing forth thy praises and thy glory. And now we ask that thou wilt continue to be with us, help each one that they may, each one of us, be faithful even unto thee and see thee face to face. Be with our brethren the world over, once again we pray. And we do pray not only for ourselves, but for the world. We pray that thy kingdom may soon come, and thy will be done on earth even as it is in heaven. These things we ask now, not in any merit of our own, but in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.